Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oh, there's so much bull crap out there about my family, about my record, about my state. And it really hurts when I hear the negativity about the state of Alaska and of course, my family.
Sarah Palin from the Barbara Walters interview. Barbara Walters, who, unlike Oprah, is going to continue to be on free TV, apparently. But Palin's 432-page Going Rogue didn't include an index. She's mavericky like that, you know? So Sayward Darby took it upon herself to do one for her. She's the assistant managing editor at the New Republic, and she joins us now to tell us what she gleaned from this crazy project. Sayward Darby, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much for having me.
What gave you this indexing idea?
Well, when it was revealed that the book wasn't going to have an index before it was actually released to the public, the press went kind of crazy because there's a saying in Washington that, you know, when a political book comes out, the first thing people do is flip to the index to see where they are. But this one didn't have one. So we talked about it in the office, and I volunteered to, on Monday, read the book and index it as quickly as I could. So
and
it took me about 29 hours.
29 hours. And this is not to say that Palin is right or wrong on any issue or that she'd make a good or bad public official. This is a take on her book. You can tell a lot from an index. She talks about God on 48 different pages. I think that's the most of any entry in your index. She discusses lies told about her on 40 different pages, clothes on 26. There's a lot about her husband, Todd, about the media's portrayal of her. There's 12 pages on abortion and right to life issues. So what does it all add up to?
Up to essentially 403 pages of actual text and then acknowledgments after that of Sarah Palin telling us why she is a political saint. You know, she spends a lot of time telling us who's been mean to her, who's criticized her, and then she slaps back at them.
Rush Limbaugh said that it's truly one of the most substantive policy books I've read, unquote. And there's some policy stuff in there. So if you landed from the moon this week, having no prior knowledge of Sarah Palin, what would you say her policy priorities were?
Well, policy really is not a big player in the book. The book is mostly about her life and her time in the campaign. And again, all of the people who have not been particularly nice to her, in her view.
But policy, Rush said,
policy as it comes in, she talks about consistently, you know, the need for small government, and she calls herself a common sense conservative, and she criticizes the Obama administration and Democrats generally for thinking that, you know, the government can solve all problems.
She calls cap and trade an environmentalist Ponzi scheme on page 391. Does she expand on that?
Not particularly, no. Again, you know, policy is not a big player in here. She speaks generally about kind of conservative talking points, but she doesn't lay out any specific policy proposals, really.
Abortion and right-to-life issues, get those 12 pages of mentions. Does she get specific there?
Well, sure. You know, she actually opens the book with a scene in which she's walking through the Alaskan State Fair with her daughter, and her daughter is actually a poster child for Alaska Right to Life. They actually put her picture on their publicity posters.
A literal poster child.
Yes, yes, literal. And so, you know, the book opens with her talking about her support for Right to Life, and she brings it up several times throughout the book, you know, not believing in abortion, believing in Right to Life, you know, opposing people who are out there protesting what she believes.
A lot about God and a lot about Todd, as we said.
And the two people who have consistently been nice to her.
And about how Todd was delivered to her by God.
Exactly.
Do her religious beliefs bleed into the policy stuff, or are her mentions of God more personal?
Well, it's interesting because she had a very famous comment back in, I think, 2007, maybe 2008, where she said that Iraq was essentially a religious mission, you know, deemed by God as the right thing to do. And in the book, she tries to say that she didn't really say that. But it's impossible to read the book and not think that, you know, when she says, I don't believe in coincidences, I only believe in destiny, and, you know, things were delivered to me by God, and I prayed for this to happen. You know, it's clear that she definitely links her religion and her belief in God controlling things with policy.
I haven't seen this as a literary form before, but are you engaging in indexing as commentary, indexing as satire?
absolutely. I mean, if you'll see, the longest list in the whole thing is people who've been mean to, slighted, or otherwise annoyed her. And, you know, in indexing it, you couldn't help but pick up on these themes. And so I definitely think it came out as satire.
One of my favorite entries is East Coast as semi-derogatory descriptor of people.
Yeah, she talks about, you know, East Coast lawyers, she kind of refers to the media as being an East Coast entity. It's definitely, you know, coming from Alaska, she spends a lot of time sort of defending her state and what she considers the frontier, and East Coast seems to be the other.
On the cover of the current Newsweek, there's a photograph of Sarah Palin in running shorts. Mm-hmm. It was a photograph used in a Runner's World magazine August 2009 profile of her. According to Runner's World, the photograph was provided to Newsweek by a stock agency without their knowledge. Here is Sarah Palin responding to the cover in her interview with Barbara Walters.
It's a wee bit degrading. Newsweek should be more policy-oriented, more substance-oriented than showing some gal in shorts on the cover.
Not that her own book, as a former vice presidential candidate and presidential aspirant, shouldn't have also been more policy-oriented. But she's got a point on the Newsweek thing, doesn't she?
I mean, sure. You know, at the same time, in her book, she talks a lot about running and how, you know, important it is to her and how it's her way of blowing off steam. And at one point, she even, you know, talks about how the McCain campaign wouldn't let her make time to run and instead wanted to hire a nutritionist for her. And so, you know, running is a very big part of her life.
Now, let me just go down a list of several of the mentions in the index that caught my eye. I haven't read the book. I've only read your index. So I'm just going to throw out these terms that you cited, and you tell me what they refer to. Like, for instance, on page 354, mm-hmm. cleavage czar.
There was a woman in Wasilla who complained to the governor's office that that the women in the administration were wearing their shirts too tight. And so Sarah Palin says that she made the joke to a staffer, oh, that's right, I'm the cleavage czar.
Alec Baldwin gets 2 pages of mentions. Tina Fey gets 6. In what context?
Well, she describes the experience of going on Saturday Night Live during the campaign. And she talks about Tina Fey and meeting her and one of their children being confused about who was who, apparently, because they look alike. And then she talks about going into the sketch with Alec Baldwin, in which she tells him that Stephen Baldwin, who is conservative, is her favorite Baldwin.
So there was also a baby shower at the shooting range.
That's
citation
right.
In your index.
That's actually one of my favorites. For one of her children, she held her baby shower at a shooting range in Alaska.
President Obama, by the way, takes her seriously. His political office, not the administration, but his ongoing campaign organization, I don't know if you've seen this yet, they literally just sent out this morning an email to their supporters warning people about Palin and this book tour where she attacks Obama's health reform agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And the email says it's dangerous. And, of course, this is the person who coined or popularized the term death panels and mm-hmm. opened the floodgates for months of false attacks. They say whatever lie comes next will be widely covered by the media, quoting the Obama campaign. This was, of course, a plea for donations to the president's political war chest.
Mm-hmm.
But does Palin address health care in the actual book?
Not really. You know, she mentions, again, Obama's policies and her opposition to them, particularly things that have the government having a larger role. But, you know, the whole notion of death panels and whatnot is not part of the book.
And there are surprisingly few mentions of Barack Obama in the book compared to, say, God or Todd, mentioned on 8 pages.
Well, some of the cases in which there are people mentioned, like Todd, for instance, you know, he's mentioned so many times that what we did is we put in highlights. And with Barack Obama, if I'm not mistaken, those are highlights as well. That being said, he's really not mentioned that much, not by name anyway. She spends most of her discussion about the campaign being angry at the McCain campaign as opposed to the Obama campaign. If anything, the big villain was not her political opposition. It was, you know, the people around her in the campaign.
Here's my other favorite listing in your index, veganism as a questionable lifestyle choice.
That's right. I actually wrote about this as well. One of my favorite themes throughout the book is her discussion of meat. She talks about meat a lot. She talks about caribou. She talks about, shooting. She talks about anti-hunting groups and how clueless they are. And in two different places, she mentions veganism. And in one case, she calls her speechwriter from the campaign a bunny-hugging vegan with a green soul who would surely jump out of the way of a dump truck if he saw, jump in the way of a dump truck if he saw a squirrel. And in another case, she says that if a vegan came over to her house, she would make a salad, but then tell them why meat was a good thing.
And she also wrote, "I always remind people from outside our state that there's plenty of room for all Alaska's animals right next to the mashed potatoes."
That's right. That fits right into the meat theme.
So that's where we will leave it with Sayward Darby from The New Republic, who has taken it upon herself to index Going Rogue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lisa Allison, Jody Evergun, Paige Cowart, and Eileen Markey produced this program. We had intern help this week from Neil Makija, Tala Al-Husri, Rachel Senator, and Mary Beth Holman. And our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Dmitry Krasny at the audio controls today. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm Brian Lehrer.